live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a starting receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time. Welcome to this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. It is February 24, 2020, and thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your week. A very busy Monday show. I always say Monday and Fridays are the busiest days here on Current Sports. You're trying to recap the weekend that was, and for Friday, you're trying to preview the weekend that will be. And a few things I want to get to on today's show. You know, it's a bit of a somber one in the world of sports, seeing as though right now, as I speak, the Kobe Bryant Memorial Celebration of Life is taking place at the Staples Center, downtown Los Angeles, California. You know, they've been very, very tight-lipped about, you know, the details of this celebration of life for Kobe. And, you know, it's getting underway right now. It'll go from, it's scheduled to run from 1 to 3 p.m. And we'll try to give you guys updates as we are here live on the airwaves. I've got the live stream actually going right now on my laptop. It hasn't officially started. I believe people are still walking in. There are thousands of fans who have, you know, made sure they will be in attendance for this celebration of life. The tickets sold out in a matter of minutes. And I know the Staples Center is asking that those who have tickets, those are the only ones that they want, you know, coming to the Staples Center. They don't want it to be a crazy frenzy outside the Staples. But I mean, come on, man. I mean, Kobe Bryant, one of the biggest names in sports history, passing away tragically along with, you know, his daughter, Gianna. And those seven other victims, just such a tragedy in Kobe Bryant's life. We have been, like, every week, you know, seeing new tributes come out from fans and entertainers alike, other athletes who were impacted by Kobe Bryant and his Mamba mentality. So you know that today is going to be quite the scene. I'm seeing right now, my video just began, and it's packed right now. It's dimly lit. Looks as though they have purple dimly lit lights right now as fans try and find their seats. And there is a stage right in the middle of the Staples Center. Looks as though there's like red carpet and some seats there. So it's going to be a really heavy moment without a doubt. Many tears will be shed from those who are fans of Kobe, who were fans of Kobe Bryant, those who have been impacted by him, and maybe those who may not have been impacted him, but this story is just so tragic, and you know just how massive of a person Kobe Bryant was that you have been affected in other ways. So we'll keep you updated on that. I'm going to try to roll in some kind of sound from the celebration, so stay tuned for that as the hour proceeds. So we'll touch on the memorial, of course. Also, I want to bring to you audio from the Breslin Center as Tom Izzo just wrapped up his press conference at the Breslin. And Michigan State men's basketball now prepares to take on Iowa. You know, they got that win over Nebraska, a much-needed victory for the Spartans who were coming off that loss previously to Maryland. So they get out of the doghouse for right now, but you play an Iowa team tomorrow that is pretty solid. So you'll hear what Tom Izzo has to say from his press conference from this morning. We'll roll in that. We'll also have weekend winners for you. We'll talk about the incredible fight that was between Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. This was part two. Part one was incredibly epic. And this time around, I mean, Tyson Fury, he looked awesome, right? Deontay, we got some questions about Deontay Wilder now after that fight. So, loaded current sports. And, you know, I do want to touch on this NCAA transfer rule as well. Everybody's talking about the transfer rule because it really could prove to be a game changer in the world of collegiate sports. And there has been certainly mixed reaction in regards to that conversation, all right? So, multiple ways in which you can weigh in. Pick up the phone and dial 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. Our live stream is up and running there. You can comment below that video, and you can tweet us, tweet the show, at WKAR News, and you can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. We've got Connor Mathis of the Argus Press helping man today's ship behind the glass. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. And let's start here. The Michigan State women's basketball team erased an 18-point second-half deficit, but were not able to hold on, falling to rival Michigan 65-57 in the annual Pink game yesterday. A season-high 11,462 fans were on hand at the Breslin Center yesterday. And a loss halted a three-game win streak for the Spartans, who now fall to 14-13 overall, 7-9 in Big Ten play. Michigan now improves to 18-9 overall, 9-7 in the Big Ten. Michigan State had two players in double figures, led by 18 from sophomore guard Nia Clouden, who also added four assists and two steals. Senior guard Taryn McCutcheon added 14 points, three assists, and one steal. And sophomore guard slash forward Tori Osmond had a solid game, scoring 9 points, three boards, two assists. Michigan was once again led by sophomore Naz Hillman, who scored 26 points with 13 rebounds. So a double-double for her. So Michigan State losing to rival Michigan in front of a season-high attendance of a little over 11,000 fans at the Breslin Center. Quite the atmosphere despite the loss. All right, the Michigan State hockey team dropped its regular season home finale on Saturday at a sold-out Munn Ice Arena. Number 12 Ohio State scored three goals over the final 4:49, including an empty netter to erase the Spartan lead with 4-2. And Patrick Kortarenko, he scored and had an assist to lead Michigan State. It was a back-and-forth game throughout the night. The Spartans failed to convert on multiple power plays, which left the door wide open for Ohio State to sneak in and take the win. The Spartans will close out their season this Friday, February 28th, where they will travel to face Notre Dame with that game starting at 7 p.m. So that was a weekend sweep. The night prior to, Michigan State did also fall to Ohio State. So, all right, Michigan State baseball. Yeah, can you believe that? Baseball underway, if you have forgotten. And Peter Ahn's walk-off homer in the bottom of the 10th inning boosted Michigan State baseball to a wild, check this, if you like scoring, you love yesterday's game, 15-14 was the final in a Michigan State baseball win over Merrimack yesterday afternoon at Floor Field, home of the Greenfield Drive. On blasted the second pitch he saw from Merrimack relief pitcher Jake DeBalt off the top of the wall in the right center. and into the bullpen beyond the wall, sparking the Spartan celebration, and he was met at home plate by the rest of his jubilant teammates. The Spartans were able to walk away from the weekend with one win after dropping three straight to Merrimack. The Warriors won the series after winning Friday's series opener 9-6 in 11 innings to go with Saturday's Twin Bill sweep, winning 3-1 and 7-5. So Michigan State will be returning to Greenville next weekend to host the four-team first pitch invitational. That is this Friday to Sunday, February 28th to March 1st. Can't believe this is the final week of February 2020. Facing Kansas on Friday at 1 p.m., followed by Western Carolina on Saturday at 6 p.m., and then Ball State on Sunday at 6 p.m. So Michigan State baseball will be very busy this weekend. And Mel Tucker, 25th head coach in Michigan State football history. He, of course, is filling out that coaching staff of his. And his first staff at Michigan State is rounding into form, with the latest addition coming from a Big Ten rival. The school announced that Tucker has tabbed Ted Gilmore as his new tight ends coach. Gilmore spent the last five seasons as wide receivers coach at Wisconsin, in addition to being the Badgers passing game coordinator for the last 3 years. Prior to Wisconsin, Gilmore was the wide receivers coach of the Oakland Raiders of the NFL. Before that, he was associate head coach, wide receivers coach, and recruiting coordinator for Nebraska, spending six seasons out in Lincoln. Gilmore has coached tight ends twice in his career, Kansas during the 1999 season and at Wyoming from 1994 to 1996. Gilmore joins Jay Johnson, Chris Kapilovic, Courtney Hawkins, and Harlan Barnett as new additions to Tucker's staff. And the hiring of Ted Gilmore, that was announced on Friday. All right, the Detroit Pistons fell to the Portland Trail Blazers. C.J. McCollum had 41 points, a career-high 12 assists, 9 rebounds, one rebound shy of a triple-double. Carmelo Anthony scored a season-high 32 points. You can't tell me Carmelo ain't got more left in the tank. You know, it's just surprising to me how long Carmelo was sitting at home contemplating his basketball career when it was reported widely that there weren't many NBA teams who would give him a shot. Well, Portland has, and it is certainly paying off this season for the Trailblazers as they beat my Detroit Pistons 107-104 last night. I am embracing the tank right now. I just hope they lose every single game from here on out and booster that that NBA draft
pick. Welcome to the club.
Yeah.
Welcome to the tank club.
I'm in the tank club. You got to be right now, right? It's like, dude, I mean, and then, you know, isn't it? It's also interesting what's happening with the two LA teams right now, with the LA Lakers and the LA Clippers. You got the Clippers, who now have Reggie Jackson. The Pistons bought out that contract. And then you have the Lakers picking up a former Piston and Markieff Morris, and the Pistons bought out his contract. So the Lakers are looking at – the Lakers and the Clippers, the teams out in L.A., are looking at what the Pistons had and saying, maybe we could use some of that to make a late title push for both of those teams. It's interesting.
It's almost like you shouldn't have your entire team based around role players and acting like stars. It's crazy.
Exactly.
Crazy how that works.
Preach on, brother. I always say in today's NBA, you need to have at least one superstar if you want to legitimately compete. To go far in the postseason. And the Pistons, you could argue with Blake Griffin, but the big problem with Blake, and this is what I said when it was first announced that Blake Griffin would be rocking the red, white, and royal blue, is that Blake Griffin has injury troubles. He cannot stay healthy, and we're seeing that now. So, but last night when it came to that win, again, the Trailblazers beating the Pistons 107-104. It was the first time that Carmelo Anthony scored over 30 points since 2017 when he was with the New York Knickerbockers. He made a jumper with Portland, protecting a two-point lead with 21 seconds left. Reserve big man Christian Wood, who has arguably been the best and most consistent player for the Pistons this season, he had 26 points, 9 rebounds for Detroit. The bench accounted for 70 points for the Pistons. And as I mentioned, for Markieff Morris, he cleared waivers yesterday and signed with the L.A. Lakers, who waived DeMarcus Cousins to open a spot on the roster. The Lakers signed Morris via the $1.75 million disabled player exemption they received for Cousins earlier this year. Morris negotiated a buyout with the Pistons on Friday, leaving $4.3 million the remainder of this season and his 2020-2021 salary on the table.
Morris, who is 31 years old, he appeared in 44 games for the Pistons this year, averaging 11 points, 3.9 rebounds per game. A pretty good shooter from the three-point line as well. He's able to play both forward spots and is a good rebounder and defender. Over 9 years, he has averaged 11.6 points, 5.4 rebounds, 1.7 assists. In 623 games. And if you care, the Detroit Red Wings, yeah, they lost yesterday. Oh, it's just really tough again being a professional Detroit sports fan, right? The Wings' season-long scoring struggles continued on Sunday. It might get worse after today. Dylan Larkin provided their only offense, scoring both blows in a 4-2 loss to the Calgary Flames at Little Caesars Arena. In the final game before today's 3 p.m. NHL trade deadline, the Wings sitting at 15-45-4. My goodness. Entered the night ranked last in the league in goals per game by a significant margin over the next lowest scoring team, which is Anaheim at 2.48. The Wings right now are averaging 2 goals per game. The Wings might be poised to move on from a few of their scoring threats. Andreas Athanasiou, he was scratched from the lineup, as was defenseman Mike Green. The club cited asset management, not wanting to risk injury to either player in case they are traded. And as I mentioned, the Kobe Bryant Memorial is taking place right now at the Staples Center. I do not believe the program has officially begun, but it's being live streamed everywhere right now. So fans are still filing in, and everybody's trying to find a seat as thousands of mourners have started to gather there and to say farewell to Kobe and Gianna Bryant nearly a month. It was like yesterday, nearly a month after they were killed, along with 7 others in a helicopter crash. The memorial service, dubbed a celebration of life, began really at 10 a.m. for 20,000 people at the arena where Bryant played for the L.A. Lakers, the Staples Center. And details on speakers and performers have not been announced, though the service will feature music and retrospectives on Kobe Bryant's career, along with speakers reflecting on his impact on his sport and the world. Bryant's family, dozens of sports greats, and many major figures in Bryant's public life are expected to attend. But again, they are really tight-lipped right now as to who is going to be a part of the program. So again, it's 10 a.m. out in L.A. right now, 1 p.m. here, of course, as you know, that celebration of life is scheduled to take place. At least I saw, you know, around 3 p.m. But again, I don't believe, I haven't seen, kind of correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think the formal program has officially begun. I think they're still waiting on people to get settled. So there you have that. Just you know, it's going to be a very, very, very heavy day right now out in L.A. and across the world for that matter. All right, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number that you can not only call, but also always forget to pub this as well, but you can text that same number to be a part of the show. You can also weigh in at facebook.com/WKAR news, comment below that live stream, and again, tweet us, tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News.
Long run out by Kobe Bryant.
What did I just see?
Behind the back, and then the finish. I mean, the finish. Oh, my goodness, number 8.
I should be trying to get him.
Right back. Oh, Kobe Bryant!
He cards for human life!
What a play!
Kobe will take it in and throw it down on Paul!
Dribble drive, change of direction by Bryant. Slam dunk.
Buckle up for Kobe Bryant! Kobe Bryant just sucked the gravity!
Kobe guarded by Mo Peterson. Kobe pump fake for two.
Kobe's got the Laker record. And an 81-point game.
Bryant goes to work. Bryant the drive. Oh! Kobe Bryant on a rack attack.
Three
timeouts left. The Lakers have two. Bryant to Shaq.
And one of the great farewell performances in any sport at any time.
Mamba out.
Again, a really heavy day today. You heard just a few of the remarkable highlights of Kobe Bryant's career. And we are asking you all out there, you know, as we have been really doing since this tragic news occurred, which, again, it feels like yesterday. I can't believe we're approaching like a month now. You know, we're asking you all if you have any thoughts on Kobe Bryant, and, you know, his for those who may be, you know, not only watching or listening to current sports right now, but who are streaming the memorial as well, the celebration of life for Kobe Bryant. If you have any thoughts on that, we are, of course, opening up our phone lines, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You know, for me, Connor, it still feels surreal, dude. You know, I think time lends perspective, but what time also does is, because I always say this, sometimes the initial shock can be so great, as is with this news of Kobe Bryant passing, that, you know, it doesn't feel real in that moment. But then as time goes on, it really starts to settle in, like, man, you know, we won't see Kobe doing any more appearances. We won't see him doing his ESPN Plus show detail. We won't see him going and physically into the hall and giving his own Hall of Fame speech. You know, all that stuff is really just going to hit people over time. And, you know, I think still right now, at least for me, I'm still looking at this story and saying to myself, this still can't be true. It still doesn't really feel real. Quite the scene right now at the Staples Center. Anything you want to say about today, man? It's kind of a weird day, right? It's kind of a weird day. I mean, when you look at, you know, Kobe Bryant's life, it's one that I think everybody can draw inspiration from. So
I just don't think it's really going to sink in that he's gone until that Hall of Fame induction comes in. What is it? August, they usually do that.
I believe so.
I don't think it's really going to hit people fully until that Hall of Fame induction, where he's not going to be there.
Right.
That's really all I got to add to it. I mean, most of this stuff has already been said. I mean, really changed the sport of basketball. I mean, helped bring it to a more global stage, all that stuff. So
right. I would say when it comes to the celebration, I would love to hear from you know, greats like Shaquille O'Neal. I'm pretty sure he's scheduled to speak at the program. I'm pretty sure they're going to have some musical talent that Kobe knew and was inspired by. You know, they had Usher, you know, the first game at the Staples Center since Kobe's death. You know, they had that amazing pregame tribute where Usher, well, I forgot, you know, him and Kobe, I mean, they basically came into the spotlight together. Usher blew up around the same time Kobe Bryant entered the NBA and set the league on fire, and they were really good friends. So we'll keep you updated as to what's happening. Again, I got the stream going on right now. I'll definitely keep you guys updated on that.
All right, what I want to do right now is move to less important matters, and I want to talk about the NCAA transfer rule. You know, this is something that, due to all of the hirings for Mel Tucker's coaching staff, you know, I feel like every other day, I feel like I was talking about a new hire for Mel Tucker, and, you know, he certainly is getting that cabinet of his ready as he, you know, gets ready to partake in his first year as head coach of the Michigan State football team. So that was what really filled up a lot of our time during last week's show. So I didn't get a chance. I know we touched on it, but I didn't get a chance to really dive into it because, you know, the reactions are very mixed to the possibility that the NCAA is going to adopt a transfer rule that allows a player to have at least a mulligan, one mulligan. You get one transfer where you can go to whatever school that you feel like is going to be best for you if it doesn't work out with that first choice, and you will be able to have immediate eligibility. You will not have to sit out a year like the current rules entail. But again, we all know, the NCAA, they don't do many things right, including this transfer rule right now, because it just blows my mind how some players are able to play immediately after transferring, because you can again, request for immediate eligibility. And depending on the situation, the NCAA will evaluate a few things, and boom, you either have to sit out a year still, or they say, all right, well, we understand where you're coming from. We'll let you play immediately. But there's just been no consistency with this rule. You know, why certain players are able to play immediately with that said institution, and why some players, you know, get the axe and can't play immediately. You know, I think a really timely discussion to bring this thing home is Mr. Joey Hauser, right, from Michigan State men's basketball. You know, you look at a situation like that and you say, all right, why can't Joey play, but this player over here can play? You know, we've seen a lot of big-time athletes in the college ranks who, you know, decide to transfer, you know, given immediate eligibility. I think the NCAA, this is just me talking, this is just my opinion. Again, it's sports talk radio, but I think they look at certain dollar signs that certain names bring in for institutions and TV networks, and they say, all right, let's let this guy play immediately. Whereas, you know, the second string point guard or backup quarterback who transfers, you got to sit out. You know what I mean? I think all of that is weighed in. It's all a business at the end of the day. And, you know, only a few things have sparked more debate than the power to NCAA student athletes. You know, we've been sitting here debating, you know, whether or not college athletes should be paid for years. And I always tell you the story how I used to be that guy to say, no, they're already getting their tuition paid for. You know, they're already catered to so much. They don't know what the grind is, when I could not have been, in retrospect, in hindsight, is 2020, and man, oh, man, am I seeing so clearly right now. That take is so awful, was so awful, and I'm totally on the side of the athlete now, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that I have had college athletes who have interned with me here at Current Sports, and I go and sit down and look at their schedule, and it's like working 2 9-to-5 jobs for that brother or sister. It's crazy, and they really have no power. And, you know, this past year, we've seen, you know, debates on the use of a player's name, likeness, image, and, you know, whether or not they should be compensated due to that. And, it's a no-brainer when it comes to that, right? If you know that an institution or some other company is using your name, likeness, or image, you need to be compensated. We live in the United States of America. That is highway robbery if somebody is using your brand, who you are, to profit off of you. And that's exactly what the NCAA has been doing for years upon years. So it's the players, it's a player's movement right now. It truly, truly is. And to that I say it's about dang time, right? Now, the NCAA has proposed, let's dive into this transfer policy. They have proposed a new rule on their transfer policy. Student athletes, as I mentioned, will be granted one free transfer with immediate eligibility. This is a change to that long-standing rule
that players would have to sit out 1 year after transferring pending an NCAA waiver. The waivers are really what have started this debate when you dwindle it down and get to the to the foundation of why this has been met with so much angst, why this transfer rule, the current transfer rule, has been met with so much hatred. And I totally understand it. The NCAA has made a mess, as with most things. I mean, that's not I'm not breaking news when I say that, right? It's the NC2A. They make a mess of a lot of different things, including this. But they really made a mess of the waiver system. Inconsistent rulings and decisions on what is an approved waiver. So this brought the free transfer solution. It really simplifies the complicated rule, and there becomes really four simple requirements to transfer schools. Now, under the proposed rule, to transfer without sitting out a year, a student athlete must meet these four criteria. 1, receive a release from the previous school. 2, leave their previous school academically eligible. 3, maintain their academic progress at their new said school. And 4, leave under no disciplinary suspension. Pause on that last point. I want to come back to that in just a moment. But, of course, this rule was met with disapproval. Heck, another local field. Tom Izzo, the head coach of the MSU men's basketball team. Tom Izzo has come out, and he is totally against this new NCAA transfer policy. You know, I saw Louisville coach Chris Mack saying that the proposed transfer rule would be, quote, tumultuous. And a lot of people believe this would shift the power structure of NCAA athletics as we currently know it, especially those who enjoy men's college basketball. Again, I'm speaking on behalf right now of those who are against this rule and who are loving the parity that they have seen in men's college hoops these last 5 or so years. And, you know, a lot of those who are, you know, against this rule believe that, all right, if you have this in place and you have a lot of talented athletes who are looking at their current tenure with said institution that they signed that national letter of intent to, and it's not working out for whatever reason, given the fact that they will be able to transfer immediately and are immediately eligible to play, they believe that it would cause the wild, wild west to break out. And, you know, I think only time will tell with that. I can't sit here on the air and tell you, you know, my opinion on that being, I believe, is going to create the wild, wild west. Only time will tell there. But right now, the NCAA, in regards to the student athlete, I mean, when you evaluate things, the athlete has no power. No power whatsoever. They aren't getting compensated whatsoever when the NCAA, meanwhile, banks in billions of dollars. So to that argument that this is going to create the wild, wild west, I say, so what? All right, who cares? You know, if you're not paying these athletes already off rip, they should be able to do what they want when it comes to where they want to play. You know, now again, when it comes to, like, look, if you're transferring like 2, 3, 4 times, you know, I like that you can transfer. All right, you get one mulligan. You get one opportunity where you say to yourself, all right, I may not have made the best decision for my athletic future, because we all make mistakes in life. That's life, right? But also, I'm a believer that, look, we make mistakes in life, and sometimes we have to live with those mistakes. When it comes to the NCAA athlete who is already not being compensated, especially when you look at college football and college basketball, that athlete should at least be given one mulligan if you aren't compensating that individual. Now, 2, 3, 4 times, okay, that's getting a little bit ridiculous, all right? So I like it. I have no problem with it. You know, Todd Berry, the executive director of the American Football Coaches Association, better known as the AFCA, he told Sports Illustrated that the majority of D1 college football coaches are against the rule, citing that the transfer rules prevent college coaches from recruiting players from college campuses. Mark Ritt, the former Georgia and Miami coach, he also tweeted out his displeasure
with the proposed change, saying, quote, I know, I have an idea. You recruit and develop players, and when I think they're good enough, I will poach them from your roster. Welcome to what the new normal will look like in college football. So, of course, coaches are going to be against this ruling. All right? Which just really proves the hypocrisy that is college football. Isn't it funny, man? Just the hypocrisy. Just reading Mark Richt and what he had to say there. Because to bring this thing all home again, here at Michigan State University, we saw longtime Michigan State football coach Mark D'Antonio decide to resign from his position as head coach of your beloved Spartans. This was 24 hours before National Signing Day. This was less than a month removed from banking in that $4.3 million retention bonus that he received on his contract. The bonus kicked in well after the season, and the coaching carousel had settled. D'Antonio, he left the program. It was so untimely. I keep harping on this because the timing of this, it was just bad. You know, $4.3 million payout. And you know who is stuck paying for a new coach, receiving no money? Well, the players. The players that Coach D left here in East Lansing, who are sitting there saying, all right, this tremendously impacts my football future because I made the decision to come to Michigan State based on the current coaching staff, based on Mark D'Antonio, me buying into his philosophy, buying into what he told me in that living room. So when something like this happens, and it happens all the time in college sports, especially college football after the year, where you got coaches deciding to take new jobs, go to new opportunities, why can't a player do that? Especially a player, a student athlete who is getting paid nothing to go out there on that football field or that basketball court and do what they do. It's hypocrisy times 1,000. Players right now are forced to live with their mistakes. To ask a player to stick with a difficult decision that they made at what? Like 18 years old? Connor, I don't know about you, brother. You know, I'm 29 right now, and I certainly look back, and I made some stupid decisions when I was 17, 18 years old. Thank goodness, not too many stupid decisions, but we all make stupid decisions when we are that young. We make bad decisions. So to you know, it's just hypocrisy. When a coach is allowed freedom of movement to do what he or she wants to do, shouldn't a student athlete who is 18 years old making a big decision like this be at least given one mulligan, especially when they aren't compensated in the first place? Come on, man. So the power to the player is growing, and I'm rooting for it. You know, and as the NCAA is facing, you know, more and more scrutiny for more opportunities for their student athletes, and the NCAA, in my opinion, needs to get ahead of the crowd right now on these kinds of subjects for sure, or risk falling behind and risk further bashing from the public. Congress is already right now, I mean, Congress, folks, is already getting involved in the pay-to-play rules. And the Big Ten and the ACC, they're trying to get ahead of things. They have already thrown their support behind the free transfer rule. So, hey, the NCAA, in my opinion, needs to get past this and grant players the freedom of movement. And we'll evaluate, you know, how this shifts competitive advantages when the rule goes into effect. Right now, it's kind of hard to make that assumption. All I know is this, Connor. Those out there who say that this is going to tremendously shift the paradigm of competitiveness in NCAA athletics, I sit there and ask you this. Especially when it comes to the college football playoff. I mean, how many times have we seen just the usual suspects always competing in the college football playoff? The Alabamas, the Clemsons, the Georgias of the college football world. It's already a big paradigm shift when it comes to big money schools who nab the biggest recruits. So how much is this really going to shift things? I mean, come on, man. We're already seeing a power shift. The NCAA tournament is a little different
because it's the NCAA tournament. I mean, when you're playing a one-game elimination tournament with 60-plus teams, crazy things are bound to happen. But already the big programs have the power because they are the ones out there with the most money. They are the ones out there with the track record of sending athlete 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 to the NFL or the NBA. It's already happening, folks. Wake up. So how big is this really going to shift things? That's my thoughts on it. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We'll get your thoughts on the other side, Connor. I don't know if you agree or disagree with that, but we'd love to hear from you. Again, comment below our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. A few comments there. And tweet us. Tweet the show. At Al Martin, at WKAR News is tweeting the show. Tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Just heard my thoughts on the proposed NCAA transfer rule. Would love to hear yours. Connor, you heard my thoughts on it. I love the shift that we're at least discussing right now when it comes to giving the student-athlete more power. Do you like this transfer rule or not?
I really like the proposal, one time, you know, get out of jail free card almost. That's fine by me. I really find hilarious the hyperbole of this will be the death of college basketball. This will be the death of college football. Man, I would have thought that the federal investigation into college basketball was the death of college basketball. Or I thought that, right. You know, when you have teams like Louisville doing all the cheating that they did and, you know, the Patino scandal and the Petrino scandals, I thought that would be the death of those respective college sports. Or, hey, I thought the last time we edited the transfer rule so we gave some people exceptions was supposed to be the death of college sports. So give me a break with the whole this is going to kill the sport. Yeah, you're gonna have a little more competition, but guess what? If you recruit well, if you get the right guys, sure, you'll have a couple of times where guys are transfer out because, you know, that's just life. But the good teams are still probably going to be just fine. If anything, it's going to be better for the good teams because now, oh, okay, somebody's disgruntled over here. Well, we can get them next year. We can have them go in. And I get the transfer tampering concerns, but let's be real. Are you really going to be the coach that is bold enough to send an assistant over to another university and say, hey, we heard this guy's not really happy. You mind telling us about him?
I know.
And how is that any and even then, how is that
it's
any
already
different?
Happening.
Yeah. How is it any different from going to the high school coaches when these guys are disgruntled and saying, hey, would he be interested in playing at Texas instead of Virginia? Would he be open to that? Like, it already happens.
It already happens. That's my big thing here. It's not like this isn't anything new. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you know, for me, I don't understand it either. I don't think it's going to be some kind of, you know, I think, you know, for a guy, you know, and we've had these discussions at the barbershops, man. Last week, we were talking about how would this impact a college basketball team like a Michigan State, for instance. Like, you know, we all know Tom Izzo is Tom Izzo. And I love his coaching style. It's old school. It's in your face. That's how I grew up. But we all know with this generation, what is it, Generation Z, something like that, XYZ, something like that. Generation Z does not like to be yelled at sometimes. And, you know, you kind of have to, like, I don't want to say coddle, but maybe that's the right
word. About balance. It's about a balance.
Like Johnny Beilein, right? When John Beilein was the head coach of Michigan, you know, I would always talk about here on the show just how different the coaching styles are in comparison. You know, when comparing what Beilein does to Izzo, Beilein's not a yeller. He's cool, calm, collected. Izzo is. You know, how many cats who play for Izzo are going to say, look, I don't have to deal with this. I'm out. You know, is Izzo's coaching style too harsh? Will you see, you know, though that player who doesn't have thick skin decide to leave? To that, I say, look, I mean, you know what you're getting when you play for Tom Izzo. That isn't anything new. You know, you're sitting in on practices and you're seeing how he is trying to push and motivate you. You do not sign up to play for Tom Izzo if you do not adhere to that kind of coaching style. You know what I mean? I'm not breaking news. Like the whole Aaron Henry situation. Remember the Aaron Henry situation?
That was ridiculous.
During last year's tournament? And it's like, look, dude, Aaron knows that this is what he's getting when he played for Tom Izzo. Dude, this is nothing new here. So I think it's ridiculous at the end of the day, and people are just so short-sighted when having those conversations. So your thoughts, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's roll in a bit of Tom Izzo's press conference right now as Michigan State men's basketball will be playing Nebraska tomorrow. Iowa. They're coming off the win against Nebraska. Thank you, Connor, for chiming in my ear there. Yeah, they beat Nebraska. That was that 86-65 win. They will play Iowa at home tomorrow night at 7 p.m. And by the way, we'll be giving away a pair of tickets to that game with tomorrow's Current Sports. So tune in to find out how you can win. But this is what Izzo had to say when it comes to multiple different topics. But here's a bit of what Izzo had to say concerning his team, which is coming down the home stretch of the regular season. It's crazy that there are just four games left now, and then we'll be talking about conference tourney play. But here is Tom Izzo, a bit of what he had to say at the Breslin Center this afternoon.
Yeah, I went a couple times on Saturday. It was good to get a little where we could work on our offense one practice, our defense the other. We could look at a little more film since we had the weekend. Yeah, it was actually really good, and I think we got something out of it, and yet we didn't beat the hell out of anybody. So we did a little bit of both. We're going to go light today and see if we can, you know, be as fresh and ready to go tomorrow as we need to be. So you look at, again, the league, it's just been amazing. You know, everybody's had their four or five game kind of strange times where you win four out of five, you lose four out of five. Just about everybody's done it. Maryland's been the steadiest, and yet their schedule doesn't get any easier either. So I think the break right now, the small break that we had, was good.
I know, too. It was a week ago or so you looked at the Big Ten and thought it's not that likely, but this conference seems to change so fast. Is that at least something? I know you pointed out where you could be better, but does at least for the last four games say, hey, there's still something out there that if we play well, might get there?
You know, I always said that you want to be in the last 2 weeks and be mathematically still in the race. I guess mathematically we're still in the race. We have no allures of grandeur that, you know, you hope to be in the race where destiny's in your own hands. You know, that win against Maryland, destiny would be in our own hands. But it is what it is, and we gotta move forward on what we gotta move forward on. But there's gonna be a lot of wins and losses by a lot of teams yet. Someone's gonna win these games. They're all against each other, and unfortunately, we're all gonna beat the daylights out of each other. And I don't know if that'll be good, bad, or indifferent as we move forward. But it gives you something to play for, without kind of looking too far down the line, because as many games as I think we could win yet are just about as many games as we could lose yet. And I think that's the same for probably just about every team in there, including Maryland. So I think it's exciting because you're getting near the end of February. As I always say, the practice ends in sunshine. And especially around here lately, it's almost like spring here lately. But it's an exciting time. You know, what we're trying to do is still get cash to, you know, maybe you watch last year's Iowa game and try to just talk to him about, you know, the difference in speed and things that I think he can still improve on. I mean, I do not think in any way, shape, or form we've maxed out. You know, if that ceiling is here, we're about as far from that ceiling as I am to this ceiling. I think we got a long ways to go yet. Whether we'll ever get there, I don't know. But I think when they say you don't want to be playing your best basketball in the middle of the season, well, we solved that problem and we didn't do it. But I think we you know, we have a chance to play some of our better basketball at the end of the season, and that's when you want to be playing it.
Two for you. The bigs in this league right now, obviously facing Garza tomorrow, but the collection, I wonder what's the balance between these guys kind of bringing out the best in each other and these two also wearing everyone down?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. You know, I think even with our whole teams, I mean, mentally right now, if you look at the last four games we have left, every game's a Final Four game. You know, I mean, Iowa is a very good team with maybe the best center in the league and maybe in the best center in the country. You know, and then you got Maryland and Penn State and Ohio State right now. That center is playing awfully well. Penn State's got a collection of guys, but definitely Smith is playing really well for Maryland. So it has become a center in this day and age, and everybody talks about going small and being small. The big guys are dominating our league, and Garza is probably the hardest prep of all of them because I think he's got the one of the highest basketball IQs for a big guy that I've seen. I mean, I think in motion, meaning once he catches and starts to move, he can adapt. And hard to, is he a left shoulder guy? Does he just spin baseline? He sigma moves it. He's got a little hook. He's got a three-point shot. By far, I think the hardest, you know, kid at Maryland shoots it on the post as well. You know, everybody has something a little different, but this guy's got it all, and he can adapt as he's making his move and counter whatever way you defend him. And a little harder to double with Frederick's back. You know, that's going to make it a little harder because he's been out of three games, and he's their best shooter. But, you know, so we'll... We're just going to have to throw some different things at him, which we plan on doing, and seeing if we can find one that fits. But if you look at him, he's scoring 30-some in losses on the road, and he's scoring 20-some. You know, if he has a bad day, he's getting 25. You know, I think, God, didn't he have 35, 40 against Michigan? He had 30-some against 38 the other day. Those are numbers that are hard to fathom, you know, but he's doing it, and he's doing it in a 40-minute game.
Tom Izzo, head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team, addressing just really the state of where his Spartans are as, again, they prepare now to take on Iowa tomorrow night at home. And, you know, he touched on a few other things. Again, that was just a small slither of Tom Izzo's press conference that went about like 30, 35 minutes. He touched on John Beilein and, you know, his coaching stint, very brief coaching stint with the NBA's Cleveland Cavs. And, you know, he really feels bad for John Beilein. He has not talked to him just yet. I also want to note that after Tom Izzo spoke, Mel Tucker addressed the media for the first time since his introductory press conference as head coach of the Michigan State football team. I'm going to have to bring some of that audio to you during tomorrow's show. All right, but I want to hear a final break. When we come back, I'll have Dervon Thompson, one of our fantastic current sports PAs and reporters, on the show just briefly to talk about his first piece with us here at WKAR's Current Sports on WKAR.org. And we'll put a lid on today's Monday edition of Current Sports. We'll be right back.
Sing along if you know the words. And I knew if I had my chance, I could make those people dance, and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I deliver. Bad news on the doorstep. I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I
Oh, man. You got to love Tyson Fury. I don't care where your fandom falls, if you are a boxing fan, if you were rooting for Wilder instead of Fury. I mean, you cannot not like the guy because he's so transparent. He's so down to earth. American Pie by Tyson Fury. Apparently, I watched a fight. I was at a fight party, Connor, on Saturday night. And my brother Will, he threw a fight party. His uncle threw the fight party. Actually, we were there watching it. And immediately after the fight, you know, we just start. You know how a big fight party is. Everybody just start talking and everything. And I did not catch that. So thank you for rolling that in.
Oh, it was great. Best part of the fight.
Hilarious. And it was a pretty cool fight to see. I was shocked though. Wilder was the favorite, and he gets knocked out.
He got whooped.
Yeah, he got whooped on, man. That was pretty bad. So shout out to Tyson Fury, though. That was awesome. All right, with just less than 2 minutes left here, Dervon Thompson joins us here on WKAR's Current Sports Behind the Glass. Dervon is a part of our fantastic Current Sports beat reporting crew who will be with us throughout the semester. Our partnership going on 5 years now with the Journalism 418 crew. And Dervon, just real briefly, tell us what your first piece with us this semester is about. I know you covered the Michigan State men's club lacrosse team, right?
Yep, I sure did. So I just recognized how successful the men's lacrosse team has been just over the past year. So 2018 national championship, but unfortunately last season they lost the head coach in Cam Holding, and then their defensive coach, DJ Loves, had to fill in and try to get everything together, and it ended with a first-round exit. So, gotcha. You know, this season, a new head coach, I just knew, like, that they would come in focused and, you know, want to redeem themselves, which they have been calling this season pretty much the revenge season.
Right.
So Matt Holtz, the entire team I've never seen a team more focused than they are right now.
That's awesome. And you'll be following them throughout the semester, right?
I will. Yep.
That is awesome, awesome stuff. And I know whenever you make Michigan State football, whenever you make a coaching change, right, it's kind of a jolt to that team. So if you want to check out Dervon's piece, you did a great job on it, Dervon. It's entitled Michigan State Men's Club Lacrosse Aims to Win Another National Title. Just simply go to WKAR.org right now to check it out. And again, Dervon will be following that team throughout the semester. And we'll see if they can pull off a national title and get back to national prominence. So, all right, folks, the Kobe Bryant Memorial, again, that's gotten underway. We'll be talking a lot about that on tomorrow's Current Sports. But until then, take care. And as always, be easy, people. We'll